From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming inside the final 16th. Here is Giofanti, just as well as charging hard. Stotsfold is third. Giofanti adds the million to his grade one collection. The Pizza Man has taken the lead. The Pizza Man on the outside, Big Blue Kitten. Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bred, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Florent Giroux.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Bricks and Mortar is charging hard. It's Bricks and Mortar took the lead from Magic Wand and Bandua. Bricks and Mortar, Irad Ortiz Jr. for Chad Brown with an unprecedented Arlington Grade 1 hat trick today.
Mike Penna.
I opened last week's show talking about the racing world being on Steve Asmussen watch. Well, that watch lasted all of one race, as the first of his 14 horses that Steve had entered last Saturday wasted no time in officially making him the sport's all-time wins leader. And you're going to hear from his longtime assistant trainer, Scott Blasi, coming up in just a few minutes at 8:15 Eastern Time this morning. Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, another loaded edition of the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum, and it's all presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in the saddle with you right up until 11 a.m. Eastern to get you set for what promises to be a most memorable weekend in thoroughbred racing. And is so often the case in thoroughbred racing, one weekend we're celebrating a record which may end up being set so high, it may never be broken again. I know we say that about a lot of records in a lot of sports, but this is one, Steve Asmussen surpassing Dale Baird. Steve Asmussen is only, what, 55 years old? That is relatively young when it comes to training racehorses for a living. Steve has plenty more wins left in him, and this is a record that Steve might set so high that it may never be broken. Next weekend, well, this weekend, after that huge milestone weekend at Saratoga last Saturday, we're now preparing for what may very well be the final renewals of some of the most iconic and historic races in the history of the sport. So you go from one end of the spectrum to the other. And with Arlington Park facing, let's call it, an uncertain and ominous future, it's certainly conceivable and maybe even inevitable that this will be the final Arlington Million Day we will ever see. And the names of some of those stakes races, which have become so familiar to racing fans over the past four decades, are already a thing of the past. The Arlington Million, inaugurated in 1981 with that memorable nose victory by the great John Henry over the Bart. There's actually a statue at Arlington commemorating that particular race and that particular finish, has been renamed the Mr. D Stakes in honor of Arlington's former owner, Richard Duchossois. The Secretariat has been renamed the Bruce D. Stakes in honor of Richard Duchossois' son, who passed away from cancer in 2014. And, of course, the Beverly D., which is named and has always been named for Duchossois' late wife. That race retains the same name here in 2021. I am going to dedicate several segments this morning to Arlington Park and to this what appears to be final Arlington Million Day, barring some type of 12th hour miracle, which may happen. We've seen it before, but this one certainly appears to be cut and dry. Arlington's leading trainer, Larry Ravelli, is going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern as he prepares to saddle his very first million starter. And what a storybook ending it would be if this five-year-old gelding, Busy Channel, could find a way to win the million for Larry Rivelli. He'll also send out King of Miami and Like a Salt Shaker in the Bruce D. Stakes, and I'm going to ask him about all of those contenders in about a half hour from right now. John Dooley has been the voice of Arlington for 21 seasons, and I could think of nobody more appropriate to join me this morning and reflect upon what the Arlington Million has meant to the sport and to the Chicago area, what Arlington Park has meant to our sport over the years. John is the perfect person to do that, and I'm really looking forward to that visit with him coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Considering the current state of affairs, this promises to be a very emotional day for John, a native of Staten Island, New York, who grew up idolizing Tom Durkin. That's how he became a track announcer, because he grew up going to Saratoga and watching Tom, listening to Tom, and here he is calling what could be the final Arlington Million. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and our Bristnet.com call-in show, which you can hear every Thursday on HRN at 6 Eastern, will handicap the big races for you this morning at 9:20 Eastern time. And I'll go down the road to the Breeders' Cup at 9:40 with Breeders' Cup Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Officer Dora Delgado, who this past week received a tremendous honor when she was named the Sports Business Journal's Game Changers Class of 2021. That, if you haven't heard of it, the Sports Business Journal is extremely popular, and being honored in this fashion for Dora is a true feather in her cap. It honors women who are leaders, trailblazers, and innovators in the sports industry in which they work. Trust me when I tell you, Dora Delgado checks all the boxes. Only one Breeders' Cup race being contested in the U.S. today. That's the Grade 1 four-star Dave at Saratoga. You have another win and you're in over in France. Of course, the four-star Dave named for the Sultan of Saratoga, who remarkably won a race at that track each year from 1987 to 1994. It was one hell of a run for four-star Dave, and today we remember him with the four-star Dave Stakes. I'll talk about that later in the program, too. Hour three of today's show begins at 10 o'clock Eastern, and we do it with this week's edition of In the Room with Sean Clancy. And this week, Sean will sit down for his unique one-on-one jockey-to-jockey conversation with Canadian champion rider Robert Landry. At 10:30, Kurt Becker takes you on his stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. And I will wrap up the show at 10:40 Eastern by welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott to talk about today's Saratoga Special and four-star Dave. He has a horse entered in each. Plus, we'll spend a little time looking back on some of those memorable wins that Bill has had in Arlington's Beverly D and Arlington Million. We will do that at 10:40 Eastern time. Today's question of the day, and it's brought to you by OwnerView and the Thoroughbred Owner Conference, pretty simple. Share your favorite Arlington Park memory with me here this morning, and I'll give you bonus points if you send me a picture or you post a picture with your reply, a picture of Arlington Park. Maybe it's you enjoying a day at Arlington. Maybe it's just a beautiful picture you have taken of that track. There are so many places to take a beautiful picture at Arlington, one of the most pristine racetracks in America. Share your favorite Arlington Park memory with me here this morning. You can do that on our Twitter feed at HRRN. You can do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network, if you like us on or follow us on Facebook. And you can also email me, mike@horseracingradio.net. If you don't do social media, that's cool. Just send me an email with your favorite Arlington Park memory. I want to hear from you. I will try to pass those along as we move throughout the program. When I come back, it is time to hear from Scott Blasi, Steve Asmussen's longtime assistant, as he reflects on the all-time wins record achieved last Saturday and looks back on his 25 years working with Steve. That's all ahead right after this. This is the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Woodbine is gearing up for its biggest day of racing on Sunday, August 22nd, with the 162nd Queen's Plate, a day full of the best in Canadian thoroughbred racing, great fashion, amazing food, and loads of fun. And with Woodbine welcoming fans back with limited capacity, you will want to call today to reserve your seat. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com. That's woodbine.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
This year, the fans choose the finalists. Coming this August, for the first time ever, the fans pick the finalists in four 2021 America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards categories. Favorite racing TV personality, racetrack food, podcast or radio show, and favorite smaller circuit racetrack. Get ready to be heard and to vote on americasbestracing.net.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Brigadier General and Stellar Tap, they are heads apart. They've got four lengths on Vodka Mardini, who is running in third. On the outside is Predicted. Immokalee now gains ground, coming through down at the rail. Farther back, it is Martini and the Moonshine. And then Keep Calm, Carry On, as the field comes off the turn and enters the stretch. And it is Stellar Tap who has the lead here over Brigadier General. Stellar Tap is in front as they come down for the eighth pole. Stellar Tap is the leader. Then Brigadier General and Immokalee. This is going to be a Saratoga memory for the ages with this victory by Stellar Tap. Steve Asmussen is now North America's all-time leading trainer.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning right up until 11 a.m. Eastern. That's the way it sounded last Saturday at Saratoga. I'm sure many of you have watched that race, listened to the call, whatever it might be, many, many times. It was history in the making, and it was fantastic to see. And John Embriel, great job with the call. Stellar Tap winning the fifth race at Saratoga last Saturday. It gave Steve Asmussen the record, which he had equaled the day before, by the way. If you remember, on Friday, the day before I did this show, last Saturday morning, Steve went 2-for-2 to equal Dale Baird. He had 14 horses entered last Saturday. Stellar Tap was the first of the 14. Wasn't considered a favorite in that race. Went off about 5-to-1. Put in one heck of a performance and ended up getting the victory and giving Steve the record. Steve would be the first to tell you that all of his success isn't possible without the support of his family and without the support of his team that he has put together over the years. And somebody who has been an integral part of that is trainer Scott Blasi, his longtime assistant for the past 25 years or so. And I thought it was appropriate, considering the magnitude of that achievement, that Scott and the entire Asmussen team be named this week's industry Star of the Week, and this interview segment is presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bus dock operation, and he wants to thank his owners, his clients, his team. He knows his success is absolutely because of you, and he's asking you now to cowboy up, if you will. You see Stuart, his familiar cowboy hat, every time he's at the horse sales. He has had multiple stakes winners over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, South Bend, Brooklyn Strong, another one that came through the Stuart Morris program. You want to see him if you're in Saratoga right now. He's at barn number 3 for the Saratoga sale. Stop by and see him, and he will take care of you. Tell him you heard his ad here on the radio, and he'll love to talk some racing with you all day long. Fantastic stuff. It's Stuart Morris, and this is the Industry Star of the Week. It is Scott Blasey, the longtime assistant trainer to Steve Asmussen, who joined me this past Wednesday on my trainer talk show. That entire interview is posted. It's an hour-long interview. It's posted on our website, horseracingradio.net. Go over there, check it out, and enjoy the full hour. But here is an excerpt from that show that I think you're really going to enjoy. Scott Blasey looking back on that milestone record win last Saturday.
Well, I think it was just one of those things that we were kind of just, you know, we didn't expect to win two races that day. It just, Jalen's journey just ran an incredible race at Saratoga. Nice to see him back on track, and then when the horse ran at Ellis for Mr. McCarty, it's just one of those things that you weren't sure where it was going to happen, but it was nice that it came around to the horse of Winchell's the following day. Stellar Tap, who won the maiden special weight, and you really couldn't have scripted it any better. It's a pretty special moment. There's it's funny when the horse came back and the only other time I've ever turned around when the crowd was, standing ovation was when Rachel Alexander was coming back after the Woodward at Saratoga. I thought the neat part about that win was when I actually turned around and watched Steve and the family, walking through the aisle to come down to get in the win circle, and everybody was up giving him a standing ovation. So I thought it was a pretty special moment that the crowd reacted the way they did. For everybody in those box seats to stand up and, as he was walking through the grandstand, it was a pretty memorable experience.
So often in sports, when an athlete gets close to a milestone like this or to breaking a record, they kind of, it gets in their head almost, and they get into a little bit of a slump, and it takes them a little while to do it. Like you said, you didn't wake up thinking you were going to win two races last Friday to equal the record, but you did. There was no slump with the Asmussen barn. Was this something, Scott, that was kind of weighing on the barn as you were getting closer, or was it just, hey, we're going to take it as it comes?
I think we just kind of take it as it comes. You have good days, you have bad days. Getting to the record, you knew you were eventually going to do it. It's just there was no reason to try to put any more pressure on it than there already was. You knew it was going to happen. It just you weren't sure when.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show how integral a part you have been of this run and of this operation over the years. 2.5 decades is a long time to be associated with anybody and to spend at any one job. And it's become a family atmosphere with the Steve Asmussen barn, and you're certainly a major part of that. When you hear the words all-time leading trainer in the history of thoroughbred racing, what goes through your mind?
Well, for me, I know it. We have an amazing team put together and everything, but this is more of a personal record for Steve. I understand everything that myself, Darren, Toby, Mitch, Pablo, everybody that how much they put into it. But for somebody to run a organization like this and to win that many races and a relatively short period of time, it's a lot, and it says a lot about him. I know Steve's great about giving us a lot of credit, but this record to me is it's him and his willingness to manage that number of horses and how much he loves that. And I, you know, my hat's off to him because most people wouldn't want to do it.
What is it about Steve Asmussen that has allowed him to have this kind of success?
Well, I mean, number one, he's highly intelligent. He's got an incredible memory. He eats, you know, he lives this. This is his life. He's not a drinker. He doesn't go out and party. He's just, this is what he does. So, like I said, for him to accomplish this and, you know, he's about horses and he's about his family and that's about it. It's just an incredible accomplishment on his part.
Yeah, it really is. And I know at this point, Scott, in your relationship that, you know, you're working for him. He is the boss. He runs the operation. But, you know, you're at the point where you're working with him, not for him necessarily. And it's a partnership. And yes, this is an individual accomplishment for Steve for the reasons you just pointed out. What kind of person is Steve to work for?
Well, I mean, anybody that's worked for him will tell you he's highly demanding. And, you know, he expects a lot out of all of us. But, I mean, how long I've been there, how long Darren's been there, how long Toby's been there. Mitch has worked for him for a long time. Pablo's worked for him longer than all of us. He's got the same help around the country. And to me, that says, as demanding as he is, he's, you know, he pays well. And he's been generous with me, and he's, you know, believe me, not every day is easy. It's not everything always goes right. So how you handle those situations say a lot about who you are.
Tell me a little bit more about Darren, Toby, Mitch, and Pablo. You've mentioned their names a couple of times. Tell me more about the team.
Well, Darren runs like the Southwest division. He's in. Actually, Darren does it all. He'll pick up and travel wherever you need him to travel at a moment's notice. And you know, he's an incredible horseman. Same thing. Just knows the program. Been there for a long time and knows what's expected. Toby's in New York year round. Allows us to keep that barn open. Same thing. Just worked for us for a long time. Very, very good horseman. And you know, Pablo, he's a man of few words. He doesn't say too much, but there, you know, there's nobody better at it than him as well. So, Mitch is in Monmouth right now. Mitch is very organized, very good horseman, and you know, he's a tremendous amount of help to us with our HCV program, and you know, it goes above and beyond.
How about you? How about your responsibilities every day? How do you view yourself as part of that team?
You know, I'm fortunate to get. I've been lucky to be able to be around some of our best horses, and you know, because of where I end up going, and you know, those guys do a lot of work to get those horses if they're standing in the barn at Saratoga, you know, you're probably pretty special. So I've been fortunate to, you know, be able to be around some tremendous talent.
Let's go back to the two wins, the record-equaling win, the record-breaking win. Shanghai's Dream at Ellis Park equals the record on Friday in the sixth race with that victory under Rafael Bejarano. Where were you watching the race? What was going through your mind as you're watching Shanghai's Dream?
I actually watched it on my phone back at the barn because we had won our race, and then I'd gone back to the barn to do some stuff and finish up my charts so I just watched it on my phone. Was very excited. Called Darren. That was awesome to do it for Mr. McCarty. That was great.
Yeah, it's so cool. How about Stellar Tap? Tell me about watching that one.
Stellar Tap. You know, he's a 2-year-old that we thought a lot of, and you know, he was broke down in Laredo. He'd just been through our program, and you know, I think breaking the record, it was a pretty special performance by him. You know, first time out 7/8 at Saratoga, that's not an easy thing to do. So, you know, for him to win like that and break the record for and the Winchells were there, that was pretty awesome.
Steve was quoted after the race as saying, for this to unfold on Whitney Day at Saratoga with a two-year-old that came through Mom and Dad's program in Laredo and is co-owned by the Winchells, God is great, and he continues to bless us. How special was it to break the record for a horse wearing those Winchell silks?
Well, we're honest. I mean, there are no words for him. He's been so supportive and gracious to us over the years. And, I mean, it's just hard to find a better person to work for than Ron Winchell. Longtime clients, believes in us, believes in what we're doing. And, you know, like I said, there's just not enough words of gratitude towards Ron Winchell. He's a superstar.
Talking with Scott Blasi, longtime assistant trainer to Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen. Steve, now the all-time leading trainer by number of wins in thoroughbred racing history. I noticed that he's not the all-time leader in terms of earnings. He's actually second, about $50 million behind fellow Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher. Do we start the earnings watch now, too?
I don't know. These records and stuff, it's funny. You're going to show up and go to work, and, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. We've been blessed to have some great years and having another good one this year. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but it doesn't look like Todd's sitting back on his heels any, so that might be a little hard to get to right now.
You know, it's interesting because I'll bring up other sports again, but in other sports, we often talk about records that are untouchable. Nobody's ever going to break that record. And inevitably, Scott, it seems like somebody does come along eventually, and like Steve has done now with Dale Baird, they eventually catch them and they surpass them. Steve still has a lot of wins left in him. Do you see this record being so high when Steve finally hangs him up that nobody will ever break it?
Well, the fact that he's 55 years old, I mean, that's still pretty young as far as trainers go. And
yep.
Yeah, there's who knows how many by the time he decides he doesn't want to do this anymore. You know, I just don't ever see him at a point where he doesn't want to do it.
Does Steve ever take a vacation?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Steve?
I try to take a couple weeks in December, 10, 12 days.
You do, and you get away a little bit. Does Steve ever take one?
He does, but he doesn't like him. He's the only guy I know who came back early from Hawaii.
That's dedication.
It's something. I like my 12 days. Kind of got to clear your head a little bit every now and then.
When you think back on all of the things that you have accomplished since working with Steve, when you first went to work with him, you know, 2.5 decades ago, what are some of the moments, Scott, that are going to stand out to you, whether it's a personal moment or a race or a horse? What are some of the things that are going to stand out to you?
I mean, you know, probably when the Curlin won the Preakness, that was our first Triple Crown win. That was a pretty amazing feeling. You know, any time you can win Breeders' Cup races or Dubai World Cups or, you know, that effort horses like Midnight Bazoo, you know, put out in the Pegasus, or not the Pegasus, but the Saudi Cup.
Yeah.
You know, Gunrunner winning the Pegasus. It's just not so much about the money as it is the effort that those horses give you. And to be able to get, you know, such quality races out of you know, horses like Gunrunner and Curlin and Rachel and Midnight Bazoo and Untapped, to watch those careers come together and be able to maintain that at a high level over a period of time is something that, you know, we're very proud of.
Well, they should be very proud. What an accomplishment. Scott Blasi, you can hear that entire hour-long visit with Scott on our Trainer Talk show, presented by Fasic Tipton. It's now podcast on our website, horseracingradio.com. FanFest.net, and I encourage you to head back and listen. Fantastic stuff from Scott Blasi. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by Arlington Park's leading trainer, Larry Rivelli, getting ready to saddle his very first Arlington Million starter later this afternoon. That's ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the wonderful folks at Lexus of Lexington.
This is the story of a man who was active as a thoroughbred owner for 65 years and whose name became synonymous with the American turf. Among the horses he owned and or bred were Swarthmore, Passmore, Seabird, Yankee Witch, Big Blaze, American Flag, Made at Arms, Crusader, Friar's Case, War Hero, War Glory, War Admiral, War Relic, Thumbs Up, War Trophy, Rampart, and the horse that in many quarters is considered the mostest horse that ever was, Man of War. This man was born on July 1st, 1861 in Glenriddle, Scotland, the son of a textile merchant who founded that town. Robert Burns, the well-noted Scotch poet, was at one time the family librarian. Our man was educated at one of this nation's finest small colleges, Swarthmore in suburban Philadelphia. At 21, he followed in his father's footsteps and entered the textile business. He developed an early interest in hunters and hounds, and then steeplechasers, and finally, flat racing. His first horse of note was Swarthmore, named after his alma mater. This one was out of a mare bred by President Ulysses S. Grant. During the 1890s, he had a couple of decent stakes horses in Passmore and Seabird, both of whom were successful at the old Gloucester track in New Jersey. The first horse to wear the famous silks of his stable, black, yellow sash, yellow hoops on sleeves, was Yankee Witch, a daughter of Ogden, who was purchased as a two-year-old from John E. Madden in 1916. That one won the Rosedale Stakes in American record time until then, 1:01 2/5 furlongs. She also won the Spinaway Stakes, and in 19, Louis Feustel, his trainer at the time, admired a tall, gangly son of fair play at the Saratoga Sale. The man who's the subject of this dissertation was not impressed, but he agreed to buy the horse on the condition he be made a jumper, if not successful, on the racetrack. A price of $5,000, seven highest of the sale, was paid for the yearling, who had already been named Man of War. In 1918, this man purchased two more yearlings of note, Big Blaze and Whetstone. Big Blaze was the son of Campfire, costing $1,800, and went on to win the Grand Union Hotel, Interboro, Champlain, and Washington handicaps. In the Interboro, he whipped the Great Zeb, an American record time for 1 1/16 miles, 1:44 4. Whetstone was a filly bred by Colonel Phil Chin and cost $3,100. She won the Brookdale in the ladies' handicap and defeated Preakness winner Nellie Morse. Later, she became the Dam of War hero. When Man of War retired to stud, his first crop of foals produced American Flag, who won the Belmont, Dwyer, and Withers Stakes. From Man of War's second crop came Crusader and Taps. Crusader won the Belmont, Dwyer, Riggs, Huron, Jockey Club Gold Cup, Habe de Gras, Maryland, and Suburban Handicaps. Taps was the best two-year-old filly of her year and won the Matron. The next major horse he owned was War Hero, who in 1932 won the Travers, the Huron, and the Saratoga Cup. The best horse ever bred by this man was War Admiral, a multiple stakes winner, and the last outstanding horse to race in his black and yellow silks was War Relic, who was sired by Man of War. War Relic won the Massachusetts Handicap, Narragansett Governor's Handicap, and the Narragansett Special. A horseman and a sportsman to the very quick, he often disregarded his own best wishes, and he recognized that his ownership of Man of War was not mere possession, but was indeed a part of public legacy, sort of like owning the Sphinx or the Taj Mahal or the Pyramid. So until Man of War became quite ill, the gates of Faraway Farm, where Man of War was housed, were always open to a constant stream of visitors. He met the Dark Horseman as an octogenarian at the age of 89 in 1951, and no finer compliment could be paid him than that he was worthy and well-deserving of owning Man of War, the mostest horse that ever was. That man was Glenn Riddle. Farm was Mr. Sam B. Riddle.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and innovative technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience driving any Lexus model is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for over 15 years. Experience the enjoyment of Lexus and the enjoyment of shopping Lexus of Lexington. The people there truly make the difference. Long-tenured, friendly, knowledgeable team members, no pressure, no hassle. I promise, it's not your typical dealership experience. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, and Lexus of Lexington continues to sponsor Keeneland's Raven Run Stakes each fall. So from one horse person to another, the next best thing to being around horses is driving a Lexus. Visit Lexus of Lexington and tell them Mike sent you.
This year, the fans choose the finalists. Coming this August, for the first time ever, the fans pick the finalists in four 2021 America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards categories. Favorite racing TV personality, racetrack food, podcast or radio show, and favorite smaller circuit racetrack. Get ready to be heard and to vote on americasbestracing.net.
Consistent success tested over time. There is no better example than Millridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as Pillar of the Turf. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 36 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year. Millridge offers its largest and highest quality consignment ever at this year's Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, with 9 yearlings by leading stallions and promising first-year sires. And will be showing at Barn 5 on Friday, August 6th. Millridge, standing the test of time.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park, with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th. This spectacular card features 9 stakes races and over $2 million in purses, plus $100,000 guarantees in the late Pick 4 and Pick 5, and a mandatory payout in the Jackpot Pick 6. Post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern. It's the Charlestown Classic in Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
But being driven, it's still two Emmys. The longtime leader, another mystery. The Illinois Bred looms now. Two Emmys leads at the turn-in. Busy Channel from Bet with Both Hands. Zulu Alpha and Pulled by Captivating Moon. They come down to the final furlong. Two Emmys keeps the grain. Busy Channel in tight. Busy Channel gamely up the rail. Busy Channel battles two Emmys as they come past the 16th with another mystery. Then Zulu Alpha, they're close to home with Jared Mudbury. It's Busy Channel. Busy Channel takes the Arlington Classic from two Emmys. Another mystery was third from Bet with Both Hands, Zulu Alpha, and Captivating Moon.
John Dooley with the call of that Arlington Classic that was back on July 17th. That is the local prep race for the Arlington Million, now known as the Mr. D Stakes. It comes up this afternoon, and Busy Channel is going to be the first Arlington Million starter for Arlington's leading trainer, Larry Ravelli, who has had so much success since taking over the reins from his uncle and from his grandfather and learning from them, and he has done fantastic work. Going to visit with him coming up momentarily. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, welcoming everybody back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on this Saturday morning. Sent out a poll question this morning, which you can weigh in on at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and if you don't do social media, you can simply email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. But with this potentially, and maybe even likely, being the final Arlington Million Day that we will see in the history of this sport, this is the question of the day, and it's presented by OwnerView in the Thoroughbred Owner Conference, just asking you to share your favorite Arlington Park memory. And I'll give you bonus points if you also include a picture when you send me the reply or post it on social media. Would love to hear from you and love to hear some stories about Arlington Park and the times that you have enjoyed there. Larry Ravelli certainly has. He grew up wanting to be a professional football player. He was really good. He received a full football scholarship to the University of Minnesota. When that didn't work out, he came back and started working with his uncle and his grandfather, his uncle Jimmy DeVito, his grandfather Pete DeVito. And again, this will be his first starter in the Arlington Million later today, and Larry is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, really happy to have you on board. Doing great. How about you, my friend? How you doing?
Good. Good. Just getting ready for a big day.
Yeah, going to be fantastic. I know that it's not just the, well, I keep calling it the Arlington Million, but the Mr. D Stakes later today, but you're also represented by two horses in the Bruce D Stakes, which is formerly the Secretariat, so we'll talk about them too. But, yeah, what a day for you. You're used to playing on the big stage, but this is really special today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a beautiful day, first of all. Second of all, we get to do it at home, and don't have to ship usually when we're running in our bigger races. We're going to, you know, Saratoga or Keeneland or somewhere like that. So being able to be home and do it with all our people here, and horses are all doing probably about as good as they could be doing, there's really no excuses. So hopefully we get lucky, make a good showing.
I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about Arlington Million Day in general on the show this morning, Larry. John Dooley is going to join me at 9 o'clock. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires is going to be with me at 9:20. And the emphasis is, of course, going to be on what could be the final signature day of racing in Arlington Park today. You've had so much success there. What is the vibe like around the backside and around Arlington Park this morning?
This morning, it's still early, and nobody's really filtering in yet as far as, you know, spectators and stuff. It looks, you know, you have security around for the races and a little bit more buttoned up like that. But as far as the vibe, you get the feeling over the, you know, last few weeks as far as, you know, my peers and people who work here that, you know, everyone's kind of saddened by the, you know, possibility of this being the last year and the last time they're going to run these, you know, obviously these races at this venue. So it's a little bit, you know, bittersweet, let's say, if we were to get lucky and win one of them.
Yeah, what's the vibe like around the Ravelli Barn going into these big races today with some horses that are major players in these races?
You know, my crew's, you know, been around for a while, been with me, a lot of my guys for, you know, 15, 20 years. So it's business as usual, at least right now. I'm sure everyone's going to get a little geeked up like I used to do before a football game. So I know I will. I'll be going off to my corner TV set watching the race all by myself.
Is that how you like to watch them? Just kind of sneak off into the corner, watch them on the TV?
The owners, my buddies, they all sit in the box, and then about 2 minutes before post, they go, okay, Rev, get out of here, and I go walk downstairs and get down to the corner.
Do you get pumped up before a horse race, especially a big horse race like this, the way you did for a football game?
That's a funny thing. Probably not as much before, but when I win, it's like when I used to score a touchdown. You know, you get that rush, and that, it don't matter to me really if it's a cheaper race or a big race. I'm pretty competitive guy, so when I win, I get that same rush I used to get when I used to score a touchdown back in the day.
So what's it going to be today? A little eye black, and, you know, to intimidate the competition?
No, we're going to bust out the Armani suit today, I think.
You know what? You should. If you're going to run a horse in these races, you absolutely should. Let's talk about Busy Channel for a minute. Let's just start there with the race formerly the Arlington Million. Boy, wouldn't that be your luck? You win it, and it's not even a $1 million race this year.
That'd be all right. We'll still take it. That wouldn't matter so much. I'd be okay with that, to be honest with you. But, here's a horse that's just gotten better and better. I mean, and English Channels usually do. I've had a couple of them, but this horse is really, I mean, he is probably as good as he'll ever be and as good as he's been. So, like I said, we don't have to ship. Obviously, Chad's going to be super tough. I mean, his horse is unbelievable horse. So, you know, if it all takes a step backwards and we take a little step forward, I mean, I would imagine that's probably the only way we can get there. But we're definitely going in at 110% for sure.
What did you make of his effort in the Grade 3 Arlington Stakes on July 17th?
That was good because we we tried a new dimension and it actually worked. You know, usually your plans all blow up in your face when you try to do something that a horse has ran 20 times and then we try to take them off the pace. But his last two races, we've tried to sit behind one or two horses and it's actually worked. So he doesn't need to be in front. Now going a mile and a quarter, and I guess depending on what a couple horses do inside of us, he could be on the lead, but he doesn't have to be. And if not, we're going to try to tuck in somewhere and stay covered up. And if he can make that kind of run he made the other day, whether it be up the rail or going around horses, as long as he's got that turn of foot, at least it'll be a horse race down the lane.
You know, he loves Arlington Park. So you mentioned the home field advantage, not having to ship, but he also has a home field advantage because that's his turf course. He's 4 for 5 there at Arlington Park.
Yeah.
He's consistent. He shows up every time. What's it like for a trainer to have a horse that just every time you lead him over, you know what you're going to get?
Oh, it's a rarity, to be honest with you. It's a fantastic feeling. I mean, almost, you know, you're always wondering when he's going to throw a clunker, you know what I mean? And it kind of never happens. So it just gives you a little more confidence going out there. But, I have confidence when I run most of my horses because I pride myself I'm not running horses in races where I don't think they have a shot, you know what I mean? And I'll be honest with you, if this horse's form wasn't like it was, I wouldn't run him here just because I'm here either.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he, there's you know,
no,
that race.
No, I'm not, there's no fun going in there thinking you're going to run seventh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that race in the Arlington, that was such a good performance. And if he can run back to that race, and like you said, he probably needs to even step up another notch, and the others may have to regress a little bit. But if he at least gives you that effort again, he's in the conversation.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Let's talk about the two horses that you'll send out in the earlier stakes race, the Bruce D. That's a race that was formerly known as the Secretariat until this year that is now renamed. You have King of Miami and Like a Salt Shaker. Tell me about those two.
Well, King of Miami is a horse. He won the Mystic Lake Derby for us. We bought him from Wesley, a good friend of mine. I mean, he has several homebreds that he bought that are, you know, by American Pharaohs, and he's got some well-bred horses. So we were actually looking for a horse for this race, to be honest with you. And I had to twist his arm to sell it to us, but he did. And the first time I ran him, he didn't run very good. And I kind of sent him a funny text like, well, we asked for it, so I can't be mad at you. The horse didn't run any good. And then I ran him back in the Mystic Lake Derby, and he ran a, you know, fantastic race. He went it by a head. And last time out, he's got a little bit of a he had a little bit of a an excuse. He just got like a I don't know how we're messing around with the tongue tie, taking it on, putting it off. He's got a little bit like a some kind of like a saliva problem where he accumulates a lot of spit and sweat in his mouth. And I think we've got it under control now. But I think that was the problem in his last race. I've worked him twice on the turf since then. I'm expecting him to run. You know, I think he could win the race, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Because it's not a very tough spot. It's for a grade one, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just pretty much like a other than or two other than. Mm-hmm. A lot of the horses from Europe that were supposed to come didn't come. And I kind of think that race kind of fell apart late. It's a good betting race. It's a good field. But as far as the competition, I would say it's lacking a little bit compared to, the years before.
How about Like a Salt Shaker?
There's a horse that might be sneaky price. Horse is training unbelievable. He is. I also had him pointed for this race. He ran one time on the turf in the Awad Stakes back in October, I think it was, at Belmont, and ran second at 15-1. I'm probably going to send him to the lead with ET and let him rip and just see how far he can go, and then sit behind one or two spots with the other horse. And If Salt Shaker comes back, hopefully we will go around with the other horse. But we're gonna come up with a plan. I haven't really put it all together with the jocks yet. I'm just kind of waiting to see if there's any scratches. But I'm super live with both of those horses in that race. The way the race came up, I'm pretty confident.
Listening to you walk through your strategy, Larry, it's easy to see why you're the leading trainer at Arlington and have had so much success there over the years. You're very thoughtful and very mindful of every scenario that can play out when you're entering these horses, and not just with your horses, but with the competition.
It's called a condition, OCD. Yeah, no, I got you. It's funny. Yeah, no, I really, it's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes, but it's a, yeah, this is what I do 24 hours a day, you know, all the time. I'm at it some way, somehow, you know, looking up PPs, watching videos, seeing what happened last race. Who to follow in this race? Why this horse was getting out in that race? Watching the other horses' races, I'm a little bit over the top. But like you said, I guess it probably has something to do with the success we've been having over the years. So I guess I can't complain. I just make a little fun of myself with that about that every now and again.
Yeah, and you know what? But that's what makes you so good. You have to be into it. Every trainer that I've talked to that has had success at a high level, this is all they do. This is,
yep.
I mean, I know you have other interests, obviously,
right,
you know, football and other things, but this is your life, and it has to be if you're going to compete at this level.
Your career, 100% correct. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah, yeah. Before I let you go, Larry, I have about 1 minute left, but all three horses that you run today owned by Patricia's Hope LLC. Tell me a little bit about the ownership group involved.
They are probably Vinny. He's probably like my best friend and great family. I mean, they're like family. I mean, we eat dinner a couple times a week together. We live in the same country club. We do a lot of stuff together. We would be friends if it had nothing to do with horses, which just makes the relationship even better. Great guy. Vinny's a great guy. He lets me do my thing. He never really gets in the way. And his mother and father are fantastic people. Like I said, they're like family, seriously. So it just makes everything else, you know, if we could do this all together at our home track, it would just, you know, it would be probably the highlight of my career, no doubt.
I would certainly say so. That's trainer Larry Rivelli here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Larry, to paraphrase Willie Mays, let's go win two today.
You got it, bud. Thanks. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Appreciate the visit, buddy.
Take
good
care,
luck.
Pal.
And
you got it.
Go get it done. All right. Larry Rivelli here on the Horse Racing Radio. Fantastic. Just really good guy. Enjoys the sport. Has a passion. As you heard him say, he's very competitive. You know, a college football player, full boat to University of Minnesota. Didn't work out there. He got into some Division II, applied for Division II schools after that. He finally ended up getting in, played football, and then it didn't work out, so he came back to training horses, and that has been one heck of a decision for Larry Rivelli. Good luck to him later today in those races at Arlington. When I come back, I'll get you set for what's ahead on the Equine Forum. Plus, I'll bring you today's first bet to get you ready to play the races, courtesy of our friends at First Bet. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, America's most dominant sire with over 80 greatest stakes winners and more lifetime grade one winners than any sire in the nation. Recent stars include multiple stakes winner and grade one victress, Valiance.
Valiance with the lead. Ollie's Candy trying. Valiance prevails by 3/4 of a length in the Judmont Spinster.
And two-year-old sensation, Essential Quality, winner of the grade one Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Final furlong of the Juvenile. Essential Quality coming forward for the lead. Late run from Keep Me In Mind. Hot Rod Charlie to the inside. Essential Quality and Luis Saez have won the TVG Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
In the sales ring, his yearlings topped both opening sessions of Keeneland September, including the $2 million sale topper. A breed shaper, a dream maker. Tap it. Standing at Gainsway.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology.
Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
This is Greg Foley, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Powers Court will be forced to come around horses. On the far outside is Better Talk Now. They turn for home in the million. Better Talk Now coming with a long run down the center of this course. Give his joy the champion right there. Powers Court trying to split horses. A math one-wing million inside the final half furlong. Powers Court with a revengeful run. Kieran Fallon and Powers Court has won the million, and he will stay. It's close for a second.
John Dooley with the call. That was the 2005 running of the Arlington Million. Powers Court with a revengeful run after being disqualified the year before, if you recall. Powers Court getting the victory some, 16 years ago. Hard to believe. But we were there. We brought you the coverage here on the network. And what a performance that was from Powers Court. Time now to get you ready to bet the races, courtesy of our friends at First Bet.
And now, today's first bet.
Today's first bet comes in race 10 at Gulfstream Park, the Benny the Bull Stakes, with a post time of 5:56 Eastern. It is number 5, Well Defined, 2-1 on the morning line, who has a strong 32% win projection from First Bet. Rates 11 points higher than the next closest rival, ranks number 1 in 8 of the 15 most important First Bet factors for this race. Well Defined is a winner in 5 of his last 8 starts and won the Big Drama Stakes in May over the same 7 furlong trip. And if that's not enough, he's finished first or second in 5 straight starts since MCL Jaramillo took over in the saddle. Number 5, Well Defined in race 10 at Gulfstream Park, is today's first bet. I'm back in 60 seconds to tell you what's coming up in the next 2 hours of the Equine Forum right after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number 1, st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Well, a few months ago, I started telling you about the new outdoor superstore in Nicholasville, Kentucky. It's the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore. And as so many of you know that listen to this program on a regular basis, I have spent my entire life pursuing a few passions, 3 to be exact: horse racing, the outdoors, and of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And those are my 3 loves. And I love hunting. I love fishing when you get out and do it. And if you're looking for a store that has everything you need for hunting deer, turkey, ducks, whatever it might be, go see them. It's the Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore, just 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall on Nicholasville Road. And I had a chance to visit with the owner, Tevis McCauley, who is a former horse trainer. We spent an hour down at the store, a conversation talking about his passion for the outdoors and, of course, talking about what he has done training horses for a living, too. And, of course, he's no longer training now, but had a lot of success there. And if you go see him, he will talk horses with you. He will talk the outdoors with you, hunting, fishing, whatever it might be. It's the Elite Outdoor Superstore, Whitetail Heaven Outfitters, and that's in Nicholasville, Kentucky. Stop in and see them today. All right, hour number two comes up momentarily, and the rest of the show jam-packed. John Dooley going to be with me coming up in just a couple of moments. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss. I'll go down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Dora Delgado, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Officer with Breeders' Cup. That comes your way at 9:40. Hour three begins with In the Room with Sean Clancy at 10 o'clock. 10:30, Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history, and I wrap up the show at 10:40 Eastern with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott, who will have a couple of horses entered in the stakes races at Saratoga today. He's also had a lot of success in the Million, the Beverly D, and those races over the years, so I'll talk to him about some of those special moments for him, too. All of that is ahead right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.